when we think about the supernatural or the realm of the spirit, I think it's become spooky to us. And I want to hopefully demonstrate that at least the part I want to talk about today, angels and demons, that it was normal, and it's been normal throughout the history of God's people to understand that there is a spirit realm and that we interact with it more than we know. Okay? So through our years, I would say probably since the 1920s, especially in this country, there's been a very profound influence of humanism upon our nation, upon our society, and it's moved us into a kind of a mental Christianity to the point that we say things during altar calls like, you're making a decision. I just want to say, when you're born again, yeah, I mean, your mind's involved. Yes, I receive you, Jesus. I understand it's a decision that way. But without the interaction of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be born again. You can walk up to someone who's somewhat reasonable and say, would you rather go to heaven or go to hell? Heaven is eternal bliss and hell is eternal punishment where you'll be isolated in flames and torment forever. So which do you choose? Oh, I choose heaven. Say this prayer with me. Now you're a Christian. But if the Holy Spirit's not involved in that process, that person made a decision that they won't be able to keep. So when we're looking at the supernatural, I view everything on a spectrum, all right? So way over here is pure intellect, and way over here is pure spirit, and it could be any spirit. It could be wacky, it could be crazy, it could be whatever it is. And in the middle is where I want us to live, where we engage the scriptures with our minds, because this becomes the plumb line by which we judge all things. But I also want to understand that there's a spiritual arena that we walk in, and not neglect the gifts of the Spirit, not neglect the moving of the Spirit. Right? So if God begins to move on someone and there's a tongue and interpretation, there's a prophecy, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, gifts of healing, discerning of spirits, faith, you know, working of miracles, all these gifts of the Spirit that are available, if someone feels led to do something in that arena, that they won't be thinking, I can't do that here. Because sadly, that's what's happened to the Pentecostal movement. It's becoming just like every other movement that ever came. Here's the problem with human nature. Human nature thinks when it experiences something, no one else has ever experienced it before, and now let me tell you about it. And then you meet all these people that have been walking in it for years. So every move of God has had manifestations of the Spirit. I've shared with you before, I stumbled across a book that was written by Jonathan Edwards and David Brainerd. In the First Great Awakening, people would shake, people would fall, people were having these encounters with God. And I'm not saying shaking means God's on you, or not shaking means God's not on you, but there are people that have these manifestations when God is moving, and it needs to be okay. There are people that manifest when the enemy's moving, and we just need to address it and cast it out. So there's that, all right? So angels and demons. Anyways, I think it's important for us as spirit-filled people to think about this concept of angels and demons and not get crazy with it, not go into some sort of a weird experience where it's like, now I'm going to pray and God's going to show me my angel, or now I'm going to do this and I'm going to hear an angel. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying they exist. All right? If God wants you to see that, you'll see it. If He doesn't want you to see it, you won't see it. If you're not really walking in the Spirit, I can pretty much guarantee you won't see it. So just take that however it lands. I don't think we can be truly full gospel without considering angels. They're mentioned 293 times in the Bible. We're going to celebrate the virgin birth of Jesus, right? Is that important? It's prophesied and it's mentioned, and that's it. It's not over and over talked about, right? And it's super important, because without the virgin birth, we're just playing church here, because you can't be saved unless Jesus was born without sin. Amen? But he was, so we're okay. And as I've shared with you over the last couple of weeks, if we deny the supernatural, if we deny the realm of the Spirit or walking in the Spirit for today, what's going to happen is we're going to start to deny the supernatural experiences of that God gave people in Scripture, like writing the Bible. So what's under fire today? Oh, men wrote that. Right? That's what men wrote that. It's not God. It's God's Word. It's God breathed. It's nothing short of that. I mean, if you think about everybody that's come against this book in the history since it's been written, and it's the number one book in the world. Amen? Yeah, it is. All right. The word angel means messenger, and we're going to see a little bit of their activity in Scripture. The word demon means a supernatural spirit of a bad nature. They have bad personalities. I'm just giving you the Strong's definitions here. So, again, being fair and balanced, we're going to look at both. But I'm going to spend more time on angels and demons because I don't like demons because they have bad natures. If you think about people on earth, you quickly recognize that there are those who follow the Lord and those who do not. And it affects their personality. Amen? How many of you were adults when you got... You became an adult before you got saved. I'm one of those people. Your nature changed, right? Something changed. Your basic who you are doesn't change, but it becomes more like Christ and it gets a whole lot better. So the same's true in the realm of the Spirit. There are spirits that are faithful to God and those who have fallen and foolishly chosen the ways of Satan. Are you guys with me? Is anybody getting nervous? You okay? I don't want you to get nervous because I just don't. Whether or not we acknowledge it right now, there are spirit beings around us. There just are. And if you start to feel that one of them has a bad personality or a bad nature, you can just go get out of here in the name of Jesus and it's a done deal. It is. How do you know it'll work? I've tried it. It works every time. Amen? Sometimes the devil's a slow learner and he needs to be reminded, but he still has to go. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? Fear not, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. I mean, just I could do this all day long with you. But we need to get into the Scripture at some point. I want to say that there is an ignorance and a fear that's rooted in a basic mistrust of spiritual experiences today, again, brought about by this root of humanism that's crept into the church. So Christianity is not behavior modification. It's behavior transformation by the Spirit of the living God. So, how many of you... Now, this is true. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands on this. I'm just saying it in a question like this. Don't raise your hand. You don't have to. How many of you have tried to fix somebody's bad behavior because you cared about them and it just didn't work? How many of you tried it on yourself and it just... Two hands and 10 fingers. You know. So I just want to say that that you can tell. It shouldn't be that hard for us to tell when we're walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. And it shouldn't be that hard to tell when the enemy's involved because there's a presence that's so disturbing. It's not that. It should. As Christians, we should be able to discern that quickly. I want to read to you from the Bible. That introduction, I'm sorry, that was way too long. But Genesis 22:11 through 19, not going to read the whole account, but this is the account when God called Abraham to offer Isaac. And I'm going to pick it up in kind of midstream here. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns, and Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of the heavens a second time and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand of seas which are upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. This is the first example of angelic intervention. I want you to note that there's no indication that the angel was seen by Abraham. He simply heard the voice. He may have seen, I'm not saying, but the scripture doesn't tell us. But he hears this voice. And isn't it interesting? God tells Abraham to go to Mount Moriah to offer his son. God calls him his only begotten son. The other son, he doesn't get honorable mention here. But the reason is because it's a picture of God the Father and God the Son. Isaac willingly went with him and laid down, because I can pretty much guarantee you that teenager could have beat that 115-year-old man. So there's this willingness on both parties, and then God shows that there's a substitute, because Isaac can't fulfill that. Jesus will fulfill that when he comes. The point that I want you to glean, or the thing that I want you to glean here, is the interaction of this angel. And I think there's a lot to learn from Scripture, as much to learn from what's said as what isn't said. There's no indication that Abraham freaks out because an angel is speaking. It seems like they have an understanding of the spiritual realm, and then this interaction seems almost, doesn't it seem almost normal? And what I want you to see out of that is you may be going along and in a just like a word comes to you, and it may be a messenger from heaven sent to direct your steps. And be open to that. Test it. Test the spirits to see whether they're from God, the Apostle John tells us. But be open, okay? It's so important for us to be open to what God is doing. And I want to say, don't be afraid. Jesus said things like this. If you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. You know, the whole thing about, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, your heavenly Father, how much more will he give you the Holy Spirit? Don't be afraid that if you open yourself and say, God, I want the fullness of the Spirit. I want all that you have for me. Don't be afraid that somehow the devil's going to sneak in and take over, because we have a promise that he won't. He may come some other time, but I'm just saying, don't walk in fear. Don't be afraid to be used by God. Amen? In Genesis 48:15-16, we find Jacob, who has had his name changed to Israel, blessing the two sons of Joseph. And we pick up in verse 15 of Genesis 48. And he blessed Joseph, and he said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. That's a powerful statement. That's an acknowledgement by a man who's over 100 years old that he's recognizing his whole life has been sustained by God. I just want to say God's in charge and God is good. And you might not like everything that's happening in your life now or everything that's happened, but you still know that God's in charge and God is good. And it's hard to feel that sometimes, but it's still true. It's okay to remind yourself. I like David, he used to talk to himself, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 16, The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. I want to say something connected to this here. I really believe that if we're walking in the Spirit and we're trusting that God's heavenly kingdom is moving in our lives, and part of that is, and the angels of the Lord are moving in our midst, we bless. It's so important. You can be mad at somebody and want to say something nasty, but I want to say as soon as you release that into the atmosphere, it's not good. Hold on to it. Don't let that out of your mouth. All right? Say, God, what are you saying? What? We need to be a people that know how to bless one another, that know how to bless our children, that know how to bless our families. I know you can get, I don't have that problem because I have good kids, but they probably think about me and it's mixed. But I just want to say this, if we'll learn to bless one another, even when we're not around each other, but in the Spirit, just begin to release blessing, it changes the atmosphere. If you release anger and if you release cursing, it changes the atmosphere as well, and it becomes terrible. So I love what he says here in verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. You see where he says, the God who fed me all my life be with you. The angel who redeemed me from all evil be with you. That's a good thing. You can see why Joseph brought his kids to him. But there's other times when you find Jacob, he's a bit of a complainer. I've had a long and miserable life, he tells Pharaoh, you know. But it's good for us to bless one another, all right? So, one of the things that I want us to glean from this is that we have angels assigned to our lives. There is never a time, as Christians, there is never a moment in time when you are truly alone. Isn't that cool? It does, I know. Feelings aren't always the truth. So again, I'm not asking you to say, God, I want to see an angel, I want to hear an angel, I'm going to follow angels. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying be open. All right? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 through 14, if you want to go there, go there. If you want to just listen, listen. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Wow. This is a little timeout. If one of these angels came into this room right now and manifested, it would put us on the floor. And they worship Jesus. There's an order in heaven. And I just want to say that out of this here, so again, we seek the Lord, we don't seek angels, but we understand that they're here. I might sound like a broken record, but I want to beat it into you because there's so many people that get crazy with this stuff. You know, you can take a picture and there's a lens flare off a light and they'll go, look at the angel appeared in the picture. I go, well, we used to call those lens flares. You know? But what happens with all this kind of nonsense is that we diminish who those beings are and we think that, oh yeah, there's angels all around me all the time. And I'm like, every time you see an angel of the Lord encountering a human being, I mean encountering them, they usually end up face down. And I want to say these are powerful beings. And yes, they're here, but there's a difference when they're manifesting and when they're just present. There's a difference when, like I shared with you last week, when God is manifesting and where he isn't. Only the Red Sea parted when the Hebrews walked through. Mediterranean, the Atlantic, the Pacific, those didn't part. Because God was there at the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea. Do you understand? He's everywhere present. We understand that theologically, but he's not manifesting everywhere. I want the manifestation of God. Amen? Okay, Jesus is our healer. Great. I want the manifestation of healing. Amen? I don't have to buy as much Advil. Wherever I take them, Peter says to me, "What are you doing, Papa?" I said, "I'm taking my old guy vitamins. That's what I'm doing." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." Wow, Jesus doesn't like lawlessness. That's something to think about. Verse 10, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" So I want to ask everybody in here a question right now. I want to see the hand of every person that's going to inherit salvation. What is verse 14? "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Wow. Wow. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "Don't you know I could call a lot of angels and it would change everything?" Are you with me? Angels work in our midst with us and for us as we're in God's will. It's not, check this out, I'm going to make my angel move that flag over there. Don't look. You see what I'm saying? There's silliness that goes on. That's not what it's about. And we're going to go into this concept of angels connected with the move of God. But also, we have an enemy. Have you guys noticed we're in a war? I know, you guys, you never feel it, right? You just go, you're just happy and full of peace and joy. And oh, boy. Bless him, Lord, right, Mel? Hallelujah. If you're a Christian, you have one or more angels that's on assignment in your life. Isn't that great? You guys remember, some of you that have been here a while, do you remember when Margaret Wangari was here and she was ministering and this awesome presence came in the room? And all of a sudden, this is really strange, all of a sudden I heard this voice, this beautiful voice singing. How many were here that night? A few of you. Beautiful voice singing, and I heard it in the back, and I talked to somebody who was sitting in the back and they heard it in the front. So I call that angel surround sound. All right? But I remember, so you guys forgive me. I'm up here telling you guys to believe all this stuff, but here's my reaction. She's over here praying for people, and I'm going like this, trying to see who's singing, who has such an awesome voice. And nobody was singing. I was like, no. And I started, then I thought, I'm going to focus on what's being said, and I'm listening, and I didn't understand what was being said. Right when the singing stopped, Margaret started singing the interpretation. The angel was singing in Swahili. That's her second language. And then she sang the interpretation.
"Well, I don't believe that."
Okay. How many have been to the North Pole? Nobody? Nobody's been to the North Pole? How do you know it's real? Final scripture is in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What was he thinking? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written, again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. How many times have we read this passage and just read right over it and don't really stop and think about what's happening? Well, Jesus was delirious from not eating for 40 days, so he imagined that the enemy took him to the pinnacle of the temple. No, the devil took him to the pinnacle to tempt him. What was the temptation? To keep him from being our Savior. To offer another path. So, boy, I hope you hear that. There's only two paths. One straight and narrow, the other's wide, and many people take it. It's only ever going to be two paths. There's only ever going to be two trees. Amen? There's only ever going to be two gates. It's a big, beautiful gate. Sorry. We need to consider this passage in the context of spiritual warfare because I want you to see the level of engagement that occurs when you are led by the Spirit. Notice the opening verse. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Sometimes if you think, oh, I'm so excited, God spoke to me and I'm going to go. Okay, just wait. Something's probably going to come to dissuade you. Has God really said? I mean, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't be thinking this way. How many of you heard that one? He likes that one with me all the time. I think it's especially applicable to Irish people. We will be tempted. The difference between Jesus and us is sometimes we yield to that temptation and conform to it. I just want to say it this way. The same man that held the home run record for many years, Babe Ruth, also held the strikeout record. And a lot of people don't know that. And I just want to say, you might strike out more than you hit one out of the park, but those times you hit it out of the park, it'll be worth it. So get up and keep going to bat. Keep going forward in Christ. I like the proverb that says, a righteous man falls seven times but gets up. I hope he's talking about like morning, afternoon, evening, not your whole life. As you succeed, as you become victorious, after each home run, your faith and your confidence will grow in God, not self-confidence. Don't buy the line of the psychologist. You need to be aware of yourself. Seriously? He's always talking to me. I know what they're saying. I'm being silly. But it's just, put yourself first. Look out for number one. All this stuff that's in the world is going to distract you from the Spirit of God. Amen? With every temptation, God provides a way out. It's up to us to take it. All right? I've done it both ways. I'm saying it's better if you take the way out. The battle is worth winning. We're not fighting it alone. Don't take control. I know it's tempting. We're in partnership with the Lord. We have angels that are available to us to help us. We have an enemy that wants to defeat us. But there's more with us than with him. Remember Gehazi, he's panicked. He sees the chariots of the Assyrians surrounding them. You know something's up when a king sends a whole army to get one guy. Right? And so he sends his whole army to get Elisha, and Gehazi, his servant, goes out. And Gehazi, if you follow Gehazi, he's kind of a wreck. He's a train wreck, right? I mean, he doesn't end well. He ends up a leper. But anyways, this was a better day for Gehazi. But he comes back in and he goes, we're overcome, the army. And he goes, no, don't worry. Lord, open his eyes. I mean, how casual is that? And Gehazi walks out and he sees the hills surrounding the hills with filled with chariots and angels, fiery chariots and angels surrounding the other army. So the very guy that the army is going to take, Elisha walks up and he says, who are you looking for? Elisha, I'll take you to him. And he walks him into the midst of the Israeli army. Again, if we start to deny the supernatural today, we're gonna mess that story up, and let's just leave it intact. Elisha, I don't know what he walked in. I don't know if he saw that all the time. We're only given it from our perspective. The narrative takes us through Gehazi's lens. He sees the enemy. He's overwhelmed. Then he sees God's army. I already told you Gehazi was a train wreck. We ought to be able to see God's activity more clearly than we see the enemy. That's what I'm suggesting here. Again, the battle belongs to the Lord. You heard the cry of the warrior downstairs, right? The battle belongs to the Lord. The good news is we're fighting a defeated foe. He was defeated at Calvary. Amen? Whatever weaponry he had, it doesn't work against us. The only thing that works against us is the power to deceive if we yield to it. So every time he's speaking, he's lying, so it's, you know, you don't have to listen ever. I get a little troubled when I see these. I'm not picking on everybody on TV. There's great people on TV, but these people on TV that have these long, drug-out conversations with demonized people, and then they cast the spirit out. What's your name? Seriously, you think you're going to get a straight answer? And so there's all this stuff that happens, and it's all showmanship. And I think it's done at the expense of the person who's bound, because it makes them, it's humiliating. So this isn't for show. So today, let's commit to the truths found in Scripture. Let's acknowledge the spirit realm around us, and let's believe that there are more that are with us than with the enemy. Amen. The greater one is in us. The greater one is with us. We are always led in triumphant procession. We had a parade last night. You know, there's nothing like the parade we're in. Jesus is the commander in chief, and we're walking with him, and the enemy is chained to his chariot. We win. We're not going to Caesar. We're going to God the Father to receive a crown, a victor's crown. The Bible says we're more than conquerors because we didn't fight the battle. We just get to share in the spoils of the victory. I'm not saying this to you as a person who's never had a problem. I'm saying this is the truth. There have been times in my lives where this felt like the furthest thing from the truth, but it's the truth. He is our peace. He is our victory. We are secure in him. No matter what happens in this life, we are secure in him. I shared the example from you. It comes from the story of the band of brothers, the World War II. There was a private that was terrified, and there was a lieutenant that was there, and he said, how do you overcome your fear? And the lieutenant said, I died the moment I put on the uniform. He lived to be 80 something. But do you understand his point? When as soon as you put on the garments of the Lord, you died. So no matter what happens to you, you can't lose what was handed to you. Amen. Part of who we are is the army of the Lord. And when you're in battle, sometimes the enemy shoots back. But we have better weapons. We have the Word of God. Don't get into an intellectual exchange with the enemy. He will defeat you. He's smart. He's crazy, but he's smart. He's crazy smart. You've been given the name of Jesus. When you speak the name of Jesus, you win. Amen? Should you bow your heads? Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Jesus, we welcome you. Father, we welcome you. And we welcome the hosts of heaven. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be warmed and awakened to the reality of your presence with us, in us, and upon us. That we would not try to struggle through this life on our own, but we'll understand that you are with us. Father, I believe the real question we all have to answer, are we with you? Are we walking with you? Are we walking in your will and in your ways? And Lord, help us to discern through the Scriptures and through the voice of your Spirit what it means for us to walk with you, how to walk with you, and where to walk with you. Father, bless everyone here with this great, blessed understanding that comes from your servant Jacob, that you are the God who has fed us and will feed us all the days of our lives. That you have sent your angel to redeem us from all evil. Lord, it doesn't say that we won't encounter evil. It says that we'll be delivered out of it. And so, Lord, I just pray that everyone here will be blessed with that blessing, that there is a great host of heaven that is at work for them and with them to deliver them and to bring them into the fullness of your will. Holy Spirit, come. Manifest yourself uniquely to each one here sometime this week. Give us testimonies of your leading, Lord God. In Jesus' name.